Hey, my name is Bo. I'm the lead pastor of Fusion Community. I want to welcome you guys. Thanks so much for being here with us tonight. It's already been such a great night at Fusion, getting led by our kids. Excited to take a few minutes and look at God's Word. Before we do, I just want to share a quick story connected to the Fusion Retreat, which Jill and MJ were just talking about. I had a conversation this last week with a young man who I asked if he was going on the Fusion Retreat, and he said, you thought about it, but probably wasn't actually going to end up going this year. And I said, well, tell me more about that. Why? And he said, I've just gone on lots of retreats before. Excuse me. And I said, well, that makes sense, but let me ask you a question. Did God meet you at those retreats? He said, yeah. I said, did God do something significant in your life at those retreats? He said, yeah. And I said, do you think that maybe God wants to meet you at this retreat and do something significant in your life at this year's retreat? And he thought about it and said, you know what? I think he does. And so that young man is now in the process of getting signed up for the retreat. The reason I share that story with you is I just want to say, even if you've been on a Fusion retreat before, God has something he wants to do in you, speak to you this year at the Fusion Retreat. So please register, take advantage of the flash sale we have coming up. It's going to be a great time, just a month away up at the Fusion Retreat. Well, I'm excited to get to continue in our series, Down to Earth, where this week we're looking at a parable Jesus told where he talked about talents. And I think it's such a timely parable as we were led by these kids tonight, as we saw these kids demonstrate the talents God has given them. You know, as a child, I was always very uncomfortable with talent shows. I never personally enjoyed talent shows. And what it all came down to for me was a perceived lack of my own talents, insecurities that I had about my own lack of talents. In fact, today, even if you were to say, Bo, you were going to perform in a talent show tonight, I honestly, still to this day, don't know what talent I would perform for all of you, Fusion. Like I'm not going to sing. Nobody wants that. And that's just like not kind to do to you guys. Like, I can't yodel. I can't juggle. I can't hit a golf ball straight. Like, I could maybe preach a sermon if you give me like 3 days to prepare for it. But talents, like, I don't know, man. I don't know what talents I would perform for all of you. And I think talent shows, they always brought up these insecurities because I feel like they put on display what I perceive to be my lack of talents. I think sometimes we can translate that same kind of thought into God's kingdom. Like, I don't have any talents, I don't have any gifts that I can put to work in God's kingdom. Like that person over there, that person with the huge platform over there, that person with all the money, that person with that great speaking gift, like they may have something to offer God, but not me. There's nothing that I could actually offer God. Tonight we're going to look at a parable of Jesus addressing this very idea of recognizing what God has gifted each one of us with and making the decision that whatever those talents, regardless of whatever those talents might be, or whatever talents somebody else may or may not have, I am going to put mine to work to the best of my abilities because that is what I am responsible for. Would you guys pray with me as we take a few moments to look at God's word? So Jesus, we thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful display of talent that we saw from all of these children leading our church. God, we just recognize for a moment that these kids are a part of your church. They're not the next generation, they're this generation, they're now's generation. And we thank you for the way that they led our community tonight. Lord, I pray that as we look at your word together for a few moments, that you would just speak to us. God, I pray that you would speak words of encouragement and life to us. God, I pray that you would bring to mind in each one of us the things that you have given us and gifted us with and the talents that you have given us, that we might learn what it means to actually put them to use for your glory and your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to be looking at a parable from Matthew, which you will find in your bulletin, and it will also be on the screens behind me. Matthew 25, Jesus says this. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey. He called his own servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, depending on each one's ability. Then he went on a journey. Immediately the man who had received 5 talents went, put them to work, and earned 5 more. In the same way, the man who earned two earned two more. But the man who received one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. The man who had received five talents approached, presented five more talents, and said, "Master, you gave me five talents. See, I've earned five more talents." And his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy." The man with two talents also approached. He said, "Master, you gave me two talents. See, I've earned two more talents." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy." The man who had received one talent also approached and said, "Master, I know you. You're a harsh man, reaping where you haven't sown and gathering where you haven't scattered seed. So I was afraid and went off and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." His master replied to him, "You evil, lazy servant, if you knew that I reap where I haven't sown and gather where I haven't scattered, then you should have deposited the money with the bankers, and I would have received my money back with interest when I returned. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have more than enough. But the one who doesn't have enough, even what he has will be taken away from him. And throw this good-for-nothing servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." All right. What? Another one of those parables that gets weird at the end, right? Jesus, things are fine. Now I'm confused by this. Well, there's some important lessons I want us to take away from this parable tonight. In fact, you can write these down. 4 things. Number one, there are no talent people. There are no talent people. It's important to notice that in this parable, no servant is given 0 talents. Everyone begins with at least one. And compared to the servant who got 5 and who got 2, you might feel like the servant who only received 1 talent, he got ripped off. But listen, context matters. In Jesus' time, a talent, it was a sum of money. And 1 talent was worth about 20 years' salary. Meaning in today's term, this servant who received 1 talent, he actually received somewhere around $700,000. You don't have to feel bad for this guy. Jesus' audience, they would have been shocked at the generosity of the master in this story. But this story is more than just about money. See, the talent that Jesus speaks of in this story, it should be thought about as any of the gifts in your life that Jesus has given you. Maybe financial blessing, yes, but also natural gifts, creativity, spiritual gifts, opportunities that God has brought to you. See, your talents are the list of things with which God has blessed you. And Fusion, God has given you talents. He has blessed you. And they may not be somebody else's talents. They may not be typical talents. But Fusion, God did not make a mistake when he made you. And in this parable, we learn everyone has some talent. The question is, do you recognize what your talents are? What are the things in your life that God has blessed you with? Because you have to know that what God has blessed you with is more than just about you being blessed so that you can be blessed. God has gifted you, he has blessed you, he has equipped you, not just so that you can be blessed, but so that you can be a blessing to others, so that you can be put to work in God's kingdom for his glory. In fact, take just a moment. You all have a bulletin and a pen in your hand. Think for a second. Write something down. What is a talent that God has given you? What is a skill that God has given you? What is an ability God has given you? What's an aspect of creativity that God has given you? Could be music, could be something else. But everybody, write down at least one thing. What is a talent? What is a skill? What is something that God has gifted you with and blessed you with in your life? You You have been entrusted with talents from God. He has gifted you, and he has equipped you. He has provided for you, and he has come through for you. But listen, he has not done all of those things so that you would bury those talents in the ground and keep them away for yourself. But instead, his desire is that you would learn what it means to put them to use in God's kingdom. But I just think that there are so many of us sometimes who we just don't put our talents to use. We don't put the things that God has blessed us with to use for his glory and for his kingdom. And I think that there are lots of reasons for that. But I think one of the main reasons we find in the worker who buried his talent, the reason is this: he was afraid of failing. He was afraid of failing. See, he had these thoughts about the master that were incorrect, about what the master's character was like, about what the master's nature was like. You know, what's interesting is that this worker, he says to the master, listen, I know you. I know what you're like. You are a harsh man. You reap what you haven't sown, and you gather where you haven't scattered seed, meaning you take stuff that doesn't belong to you. But notice that the master in this parable, he does not agree with him. He responds in a way that might sound like it's agreeing with him, but actually this is a sarcastic response. He says, listen, if you really thought that about me, if you really thought that I was that kind of man, if I was that kind of master, you would have actually put this money in the bank so that you could have earned interest on this. You see, this worker had an incorrect understanding of who the master is. The worker thought, if I try and I fail, I'm going to be punished by the master. But Fusion, you need to know tonight that that is not the heart of God. That is not the heart of God. God does not punish us when we fail in an effort to invest our talents for his kingdom. Can I just tell you that if I were punished for every failure I've had in ministry, I never would have made it past my first night in ministry. Literally. When I was 21 years old, I was hired as a youth pastor at a church in Burbank. And my first night as youth pastor, my first night of youth ministry, not a single kid showed up. Not one. And I planned a bowling night. I was going to pay for kids to go bowling. And not one of them showed up. I'm not crying. I promise. I'm good. I'm good. Thanks. Not a single kid showed up. And in that moment, I had a choice to make. Because I wanted to quit, because I wanted to stop, because I was convinced in this moment, I don't have a talent for this, I don't have a gifting for this. Ministry clearly is not for me because nobody showed up. I was afraid to go forward because I was afraid of failing. I didn't think I could take another night like that. But thank God I didn't quit in that moment. And I decided I'm not just going to bury my talents and wait this thing out. See, I recognized that God had given me a calling and talents and a purpose on my life. And maybe those talents, they're not as great as somebody else's talents. Certainly there are people who are more gifted, who have more talents than me. They're better speakers. They're better leaders out there, absolutely. But yet, God has given me a talent and a calling, and my responsibility is to put that talent to work for his kingdom and for his glory. And I just knew that if I gave up on ministry in that moment after this failed experience, I was going to regret it for the rest of my life. Because you see, in number two, you can write this down, the fear of failure will lead to the pain of regret. The fear of failure will lead to the pain of regret. You see, there's no guarantee of success. It's not certain that everything we try, everything we risk is going to work out. Because if there was that guarantee, it wouldn't be a risk at all, would it? The worker who buried his talent, he was so afraid of failing that he never tried anything at all. But what he ultimately found was not a punishment for failure, but a punishment for never even trying. And he would spend the rest of his days full of regret because he never tried. Do not let the fear of failure stop you and cause you to live with the pain of regret in your life. I often wonder how full of regret Tom Hughes might be if he had let the fear of failure stop him from creating a community that would eventually be called Fusion. He had some tough experiences early on. And I wonder, I'm sure there were moments where he thought, maybe I shouldn't do this. Maybe this isn't for me. Maybe I should quit and do something else. And I'm sure he would have gone on to do great things in God's kingdom, certainly. But I suspect that there would always be a nagging sense in his life that he never took a risk to see if God wanted to create a home for a generation of 18 to 35-year-olds here at Christian Assembly called Fusion. You see, what we find in this parable is that in the end, we are held accountable for the talents that God has entrusted to us. And how sad would it be to stand before God someday and hear from God, why did you do nothing with everything that I gave you? Why did you just bury it? Why did you just hide it? Never put it to work. Never take a risk with it. And what are you going to say to God in that moment? Like, what talents? Like, he's the one who gave them to you. He already knows. Or maybe you might be like that third servant and say, listen, I was afraid of failure, God, because I was afraid you would punish me if it didn't work out. But look, God isn't disappointed when things don't work out exactly like we thought they might. Like, he's not sitting up there being like, listen, you better get this right on your first try or else. I think what's more accurate is he is saying to us tonight, Fusion, don't sit on the talents and the giftings I have given you. Do not bury them. You see, the right time to do the right thing is right now. We don't have time to waste. We don't know how many days we have left. We don't know when Jesus is going to return. But all I know is that when he returns, I want to be found hard at work, putting the talents and the giftings that he has given me to work for his kingdom and for his glory. And to do that means we have to avoid some bad habits, like focusing on other people's talents. Look, you're not going to be held accountable for what God has given to somebody else. God is not going to look at you someday and say, why weren't you more like so-and-so? I think the more accurate thing that we might hear is him saying, why did you try so hard to be somebody else when I made you to be you? When I gifted you with what I gave you? We are going to be held accountable, Fusion, for what God has given us. And if fear stops us from trying, regret will be the end result. And I don't want to be filled with regret on that day. So what do we do? Number three, make it a habit to invest your talents and trust God with the results. Make it a habit to trust God with your talents, to invest your talents and trust God with the results. You see, habits, they're formed by daily practice. You don't create a habit in a single day or in a single effort. Studies will say it takes somewhere around 21 days in a row to make a habit. The thing is, first we make our habits, and then our habits make us. Our lives begin to take on the shapes of the habits that we have in them, both good and bad. We all know bad habits, right? Chewing your fingernails, kind of a bad habit. Popping your gum, oh my gosh, such a bad habit. Cheering for the Dallas Cowboys, like what a bad habit. What a worthless habit to have in your life. Like, doesn't bring anything good to your life at all, right? All of these things, they don't advance your life at all. However, imagine the shape that your life would begin to take if you regularly, daily created habits where you were investing your God-given talents, putting what God has gifted you with to work, putting them to work for his kingdom and for his glory, day after day, faithful investment, saying, God, listen, I don't know if I'm a five-talent servant. I don't know if I'm a two-talent servant. I don't know if I'm a one-talent servant. But what I do know is you have entrusted me with this. You have gifted me even with this one thing. And so I am going to make it a habit. Today, you will find me putting this thing to work for your kingdom and for your glory. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul writes this. He says, don't neglect the gift that is in you. It was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. Practice these things. Be committed to them so that your progress may be evident to all. Pay close attention to your life and your teaching. Persevere in these things. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Here, Paul is encouraging a young leader named Timothy to make it a habit, to be entirely committed to this habit of practicing the gifts that God has given him. And that is done over time. And as that happens, over time, day after day, God is going to begin to produce results in your lives that only he can produce. Here's what's interesting, though. In verse 19, it says that after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. That's important there, after a long time. See, if you look back at the two parables that came right before this one, what we find is that in three consecutive parables, Jesus makes reference to the master or the groom being delayed or taking a long time. Things don't always happen in our timing, do they? Or according to our preferred timetable. It's almost like God isn't ultimately concerned with our timetable sometimes. See, I think what he's looking for is sustained obedience. Sustained faithfulness. And that's required when we don't see immediate results, isn't it? Like, we want results now. We want fruit now. I'm one of those guys. After my first day back in the gym, I step on the scale or look in the mirror and I'm like, that's not right. Like, I must have done that wrong. Like, it didn't work, right? But investment takes time. Physical investment into our bodies take time. Financial investments for retirement take time. Relational investments with other people, all of these things take time. And sometimes I think, we think that if God has gifted me with something, if I really had a gift or a talent for this, I would see results immediately from this, but that's not always how it works. Look, serving our kids in kids' church like we just saw and heard about, that is an investment that takes time. Working with our students and CA students in 6, 7, 8, that is an investment that takes time. We don't always see results right away. Serving on the worship team or in the tech team or on the usher team, whatever it might be, those are investments that take time. But the promise is that an investment over a long time will bring about the result that God is going to be faithful to produce in you. Which brings me to my final point, number 4. God sees and rewards all that we are doing with our talents. And Alex, you can join me up here. We'll be closing in a moment. God sees and rewards all that we are doing with our talents. You see, while the third servant is ultimately punished for never even trying, the first two servants, we have to note, they are rewarded for their faithfulness. And I don't think it's about the amount of money they made in return. Like, this master, he didn't need this money. He wasn't in some position where if these guys don't make a certain amount of money, he's going to be in trouble. Like, he has enough money. It's not about the amount that they made in return. His joy was that his servants put to work what he had given them. Sometimes I feel like, when I hear the statement, God's going to hold us accountable, like, that's a scary thought. Like, I'm afraid about that. But we have to remember, in this parable, 2/3 of these servants were celebrated and rewarded for the faithful investments they made of their talents. Look at what God says to those who put their talents to work. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy. Fusion, the results of our investment, they're ultimately going to be up to God. But one result that you can guarantee is that whoever ends up putting their talents to work, serving God in his kingdom and his glory, are ultimately going to share in his joy. And more than any other result, those are the words I want to hear from God someday. Well done, good and faithful servant. Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray now that you would begin speaking to all of us in this room now. And God, I pray that you would even bring to mind now, what talents have you given us? What gifts have you given us? Would you bring them to mind now to all of us in this room, that we might recognize the things with which you have gifted us and the talents you have given us that you desire for us to put to work for your kingdom, for your church, for your glory? Lord, I pray that we would avoid comparing our talents to other people, which is ultimately going to lead us to doing nothing with our own talents. But instead, would you give us confidence in who we are, in how you've made us, and the things that you have gifted us with and equipped us with? God, I pray that we would never let the fear of failure stop us from putting our talents to work, because you have entrusted them with us. God, I firmly believe that you do not expect us to get it right every single time, but what you're looking for is sustained obedience and sustained faithfulness. So God, I pray that you would make that true of us in this room. Infusion, as we're praying, I just want to call you to something. If you are not putting your talents and your giftings to work somewhere here at Fusion or at Christian Assembly, I want to call you to do that now. Not out of obligation to me or anybody in the pastoral team, but because God has gifted you with something and he does not want you to bury it, does not want you to sit on it, but he wants you to put it to use, because the guarantee is when you put it to use, he will use it for his kingdom and for his glory. So maybe for some of you, it is time for you to get involved in some capacity. Kids church, student ministry, is a team here at Fusion. Lord, would you make us those faithful workers who put to work the talents and the giftings you have given us. And as we do, God, we pray that you would help us to trust you with all of the results. God, we pray that you would take our talents and our giftings and you would translate them into lives being changed, to your gospel being preached, to a city being reached for your name and for your kingdom. Jesus, we pray. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray.